Committee meeting to order. It's 1:40, getting started a little late today. With us, though, we have Representative Moses, Representative Holm, Representative Kelly, Representative Foster, Co-Chairman Representative Schnult, Vice Chairman Representative Stoltz, Representative Hawker, and Representative Croft, and myself, Co-Chair Representative Meyer. In the audience today, we have lots of guests. You're with the close-up group, is that what I'm told? From Valdez, North Pole, where else?
Pensacola.
Okay. Where's that?
That's near Bethel. Is that, 95 miles? What is this, Jared, from Jason?
Sub River.
60 miles from Bethel.
Okay, very good. Well, thank you all for joining us today and seeing your government at action here. All right. Okay. With us today, we have one bill up, one bill scheduled, House Bill 46, and it's by Speaker Harris. And presenting it for Speaker Harris will be Tom Wright. So, Tom, we're going to turn this over to you, and then we have some people who want to testify via teleconference. Steve Thompson, Mayor of Fairbanks, Kara Moriarty.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
I remember Kara. And she's also with the Fairbanks Chamber of Commerce. And then we have others online here for questions. And I understand the Mayor of Fairbanks has got some time constraints. So, Tom, I'm going to let you tell us what the bill is about. And then we'll go ahead and take the testimony and then have you come back up for questions.
Mr. Chairman, for the record, my name is Tom Wright, staff through Speaker John Harris. House Bill 46 was introduced by Representative Harris by request, and what it does is it expands the eligibility for the municipal water, sewer, and solid waste matching grants, which are administered by DEC, to include privately owned water and sewer utilities, and these utilities have to be regulated by the Regulatory Commission of Alaska. Again, the program is administered by DEC. I'll be glad to try and answer any questions. That's the run of the bill and or the basics of the bill, and we can try and go into detail. I'll try to answer any questions you may have. DEC is here. Dan Easton, who administered the program, is here to answer any questions. We also have Jim Strandberg online from the RCA, who is also available for questions.
Yeah, that's a good point, Tom. We have Jim Strandberg, Don Easton with DEC, Ben Brown, DEC is right behind you, and George Gordon with Utility Services in Alaska. Quick question for Mr. Wright?
Yes, thank you, Mr. Chairman, Mr. Wright. Last year there was a fairly controversial measure, I guess, it was a bill that Representative Roquefort was carrying for the mayor of Anchorage, I guess carrying some water, figuratively, literally, that would have removed the RCA control. Is there any intent anywhere down the line is advancing this? Does the sponsor have any position on that issue? Because to me, it's not just a small ancillary. I mean, something that I very connected.
Through the chair, Representative Schultz, we haven't even discussed that. I don't think there's any intent to remove the RCA, from any. That these utilities still have to be economically regulated by RCA. I don't think there's any intent to pull that out. At least on our part.
And, Mr. Chairman, I'll be watching the folks from Anchorage make sure they don't do anything like that. So.
It's good that our Valley friends are watching Anchorage.
Mr. Chairman, if I might really quickly, too, I know that there is a version that's been adopted on the other side, and they did add an amendment that I know that you wanted to consider, and we are fine with the added language, utilities owned and operated by a political subdivision of the state that's a municipality.
Okay, very good. While we talk about potential amendments and the CS, when we haven't come back.
Sure thing.
Okay, thank you, Mr. Wright. Let's go now to our good friends up north. Steve Thompson, Mayor of Fairbanks. You with us, sir?
Yes, I am, thank you.
Okay, let's see. Can we turn him up a little bit? It's a little hard to hear him.
Here, I'll bring the phone up instead of doing it.
Yeah, either
is that a little better?
Yeah, either you need to get closer or we need to turn up the volume because we're not hearing you too good.
I've picked up the phone now, so hopefully you can hear me better.
Yeah, that's much better, yes. Okay, for the record, would you give us your name, please? And
position? Yeah, my name is Steve Thompson. I'm the mayor of the city of Fairbanks, Alaska.
Very good. Thank you for joining us today, Steve. Go ahead with your testimony.
Okay. Basically, I'm speaking in favor of House Bill 46. January 31st, this past Monday, our Fairbanks City Council passed Resolution 4149 in support of House Bill 46. And basically, I'm passing that on, that our City Council is in favor of this and that we have reason to be in favor of it. We right now are having difficulty encouraging economic development in our community because of impediments that work against us, and we think that this law needs to be changed. We're a progressive community, and we're being penalized for privatizing our utilities. It's unfair to have citizens in our community that are served by a public utility receive a substantial other communities, I mean, to receive an advantage over communities served by privately held utilities because these grant funds are not available. The RCA has already set it up where that stockholders cannot receive return on investments from the grant funds. I think that they have a good handle on how to take care of these if grants are granted to privately held utilities. Our community is at a disadvantage, and we feel that this change in law would level the playing field and encourage economic development. Going back even further, February of 2002, there was a Senate Bill 280 that we passed Resolution 3976 in favor of in the past. So this isn't something just new to us. We've been in favor of these utility grants coming to privately held businesses for many years. And that's letting you know how we feel up here in Fairbanks.
Okay, well, thank you for your testimony. I do have one question, and we have some others from the other finance members. When did you sell your utilities in Fairbanks?
1997.
1997. And when you sold them and went private, did you not know that you would not have access to these funds anymore?
That was back before my getting involved in politics. At that time, we felt that that citizens up here could be better served if it was a privately held utility. And I don't know what discussions were at that time about grant availability. I do not.
Okay. Yeah, I guess that's only a question or concern I would have is that at the time when you went private, I think that you probably knew that that was one of the risks you were losing by going private. But
I have a feeling, and I'm not sure on this either. I might be speaking wrong, but I have a feeling that that was probably a consideration taken when they arrived at the sale price. It was probably affected the amount of money sold for.
Sure, that makes sense. Okay, Representative Stoltz has a question.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Mayor Thompson, we didn't hear it's my notes from my staff that in order to be eligible for the grants, your rates have to be regulated by the RCA. So is it going to be the position of the city of Fairbanks, as much as you can speak for these private utilities, that you want to keep RCA oversight and regulation?
I think that it would be necessary with the grants coming in. I think that would be a thing that would definitely have to continue or would have to be in place.
So City of Fairbanks is endorsing RCA oversight as that issue comes up. And I'm sorry to contaminate issues, but all these utilities meld together. And I'm only about a tenth as smart as Mike Kelly is on utility issues. And I have to ask a lot of questions to keep up.
Sure.
Okay. Very good. Appreciate that testimony, Mayor Thompson. I guess just one of the thoughts that I would have is if I was AWWU, let's say in Anchorage, Alaska, Anchorage wastewater utility, if we pass this bill, we would have a lot more utilities basically going for the same amount of same pot of money. So now it's going to either make the pot smaller or it's going to be more competitive. What would be your response to that, or do you see this pot getting larger now that we're opening up the field to the private utilities also?
I would hope that the pot would get larger, but at the same time, I feel like we have an uneven playing field at the present time as far as expansion of utilities. I think that the ratepayers up here would benefit the same as they benefit in other communities under, at the present time. And I think that that's important, that we level that playing field all the way around.
Okay. Thank you, Mayor Thompson. Representative Stoltz has a question.
Mr. Chairman, thank you again for indulging me. It's the only bill here, and I like to make sure I do my work in committee. I don't want to be doing it on the floor anymore, so I'm going
right.
to ask a lot of questions. And that's, so it's, the question I have is, was it a... I know that I live on the northernmost edge of the municipality of Anchorage. I get caught in their politics. And we had a whole series of our selling of utilities was a real contentious issue. We had 60%. It was just embroiled in mayoral and assembly and affiliated union politics. Can you give us just a little thumbnail history of how you got to where you were able to sell it? Was it first time out, charm, or just... Maybe that will give us a little bit of better understanding of how you got to where you are and some of the concessions and considerations made.
I was not involved back then other than just a private citizen. It was over a fair period of time that they did a lot of paperwork research and figuring out what would be best for the people in our community and what would be best for the city of Fairbanks. And I know that they came up with a pretty decent... idea, proposal, and dollar figures that they put to the voters, and the voters voted that this is what they saw as a good deal and a good way to go at the time.
First time out?
I think it was the first time out. I think that they might have floated it around and got a lot of public input. There was a lot of controversy, I know, at that time about the entire sale of them. I know that there was a lot of people not in favor. But when it came down to the final tally, it was approved by the people.
Well, Mr. Chairman, maybe it's certainly up to there. Maybe somebody from Fairbanks maybe could share some of the controversy and the history, because I don't read the news minor as often as I should. And if there's any, and it's certainly up to them. I'm not trying to put them on the spot, but.
Let me see if I can grab Pat Cole. He was very involved with the sale of these utilities. He was probably the main person involved, in fact.
Okay. Are you still there, or are you grabbing Mr. Cole?
I'm still here.
Okay. Mayor Thompson, I do have one more follow-up question. Your private water utilities in Fairbanks, who does own those since they're private?
College Utilities, they've got a couple names. I'm sorry.
Golden Heart Utilities.
Golden Heart Utilities is what the new name is. It's all inclusive.
Okay. Now, Golden Heart, is that a Fairbanks? I mean, who owns Golden Heart?
All Fairbanks owned.
Okay. Okay. No Canadian-owned utilities up there?
No. not on the water sewer side. Pat Cole has shown up. I'll let him take the phone here, and you can ask him that question about what we went through on the sale. Hold on.
Hello, this is Patrick Cole.
Okay. Yes, Patrick Cole. For the record, can you tell us your affiliation, and you've given us your name there. So.
Sure. My name is Patrick B. Cole. I'm the chief of staff for the city of Fairbanks. I've worked here on and off since 1983, and I've worked a stint for... other utilities and other law firms also.
Okay. Representative Stoltz has a question for you.
Did he hear it already? Or?
No, I did not hear it.
Oh, thank you, Mr. Chairman, Chairman Meyer, Mr. Cole. Maybe you can give us just a little bit of history of the sale and some of the issues, and if there was discussion about this whole issue of ability to apply for grants and the whole public debate or development of the contract proposal. And just maybe share just some of the history and development. In my municipality, we certainly had it seemed to all play out all out in the media, and we heard more than sometimes cared to about how it came about. This is something I'd sure like to know, just a little bit of background, not to be too snoopy about Fairbanks stuff, but I'm fascinated.
Well, the city of Fairbanks actually entered the utility business only when private firms failed. It was a terrible fire back in the 1940s that destroyed the old phone company. The city stepped in to take over the service, and the city provided water, sewer, and power because for a long while there were no other alternatives. And as the years went on, through the 70s and 80s, many times the city council considered whether or not they really belonged in the business. It's very hard to operate a business where your customers are also your electors who elect you. And it's a any kind of political body running a utility can be challenging. I recall at least two times in the 80s that there were serious thought given to a privatization of the utilities, to make the to sell the utilities and go private. And the third time is in 1995, we were approached by a consortium of buyers who were interested in buying our entire utility system. The city council spent over a year studying the question. We hired a consultant who evaluated our utilities, and the council, I believe, voted totally unanimously to sell the utilities, in part because they believed that as a government, we could not compete with private utilities, and that we really were better off to be out of the business, particularly telephone that was becoming more and more competitive. The voters approved the sale in the fall of 96, and the sale closed in 97, but it took a year to close the sale. And probably the hardest part of the sale was trying to determine, you know, what was the best interest for the people. And there was vigorous debate for over a year, and both on TV, radio, and in our chambers. And I could give you many examples of what factored into it, but I think the prime example was that the city council and the voters felt that our community would be better served by private utility owners. We had logical neighboring utilities in Golden Valley and then PTI that surrounded us. And Fairbanks, our sewer system, sewer and water system, that was sold to a local group also that had operated a nearby local utility, and they reformed and restructured. But in my belief today, the sale served the public. The money that we obtained for the sale was put into a permanent fund that we have saved up and still have. I think that it's been a win-win for the community, my own personal opinion. I know that those don't agree. But there were thousands of hours of testimony and consultants and work done before we privatized. That's kind of a general summary.
Mr. Chairman, the issue with the grants, I apologize. I was just talking to the chairman off the side, and if I missed your discussion of that.
Well, we got the grants in the past, and cities qualified for them, and they enabled us to extend water and sewer lines into new areas, and it was a good program, and I think our residents now would still benefit from that grant program. And the ratepayers would, and I think it can be structured in a way that does not go into the rate base of the utility and becomes purely a way to serve the public rather than being an enhancement to the utility.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I guess one thing I'd ask, did you get the top dollar? Because I know Anchorage, a lot of folks think they left a couple hundred million dollars on the table because of a lot of political manipulations. I sure hope you guys were able to avoid those.
Well, our council decided that it had a number of goals. One goal was rate containment. Our sale required there be no rate increases for 3 years. We required that our current employees be retained. We required that it be sold as a unit, all utilities, because we couldn't afford to own just one. So some of those conditions may have meant that we didn't get top dollar, and you can always be critical of parts of the sale, but as far as telephone went, I know we were very near the top for telephone. In fact, there's been time since then when what we got for our telephone system was more than the entire remaining company's worth. So I know on telephone we did fine, but again, the council is looking at not just getting top dollar, but also getting terms that would benefit the public and the employees and the community.
Thank you, Mr. Cole, and thank you, Chairman Meyer, for the indulgence.
Mr. Cole, if I can just follow up briefly, and we do have another question for you. Since we're talking about the history of the sale and the events that led up to the sale, at the time of the sale, did you know that by selling this to a private firm that you'd be losing out on these public grants? And was that a consideration, or is that something you were, I guess, willing to accept just to be able to sell the utilities?
We're not turning just to water and wastewater. Our plant was built with the grant, our wastewater plant. So technically, the city still owns the wastewater plant and it's leased out to the buyers. And we were aware then that this grant program would be a factor. And our council has for years wanted to have a program amended to allow grants to private utility owners. And I believe back in 2002, the council also passed a similar resolution supporting the grant program amendment. So that we were aware of this then, and we felt that the law should be changed. That was our hope.
Okay. Thank you, Mr. Cole. Representative Holm has a question.
I really didn't have a question, Mr. Chairman. I just wanted to make sure that he adequately answered that question for you. It's my understanding as living through that, I don't remember the discussion ever being one of saying we didn't want to participate as grant receivers, and therefore the condition would be that the city of Fairbanks then would take a back seat, if you will, to the ability to improve its lot based on the fact that it became a private utility. It was just done for the purpose of making that solvent. We were having some extremely difficult times with the city of Fairbanks at that time. And the idea was, as it was presented before, that the city of Fairbanks would do better if it was not in the utilities business.
That's correct.
Very good. Thank you, Representative Holmes. Seeing no other questions, thank you, Mr. Cole.
Okay, thank you, and I'll turn you back over to Mayor Thompson.
Mayor Thompson, I think I don't see any other questions for you either, so
okay.
I think you're off the hot seat for now.
Well, thank you very much for the opportunity to testify on House Bill 46.
Thank you for joining us this afternoon.
All right, thank you.
I'm sorry. Hold on, Mayor.
Yes, yes.
Representative Kelly?
Mr. Chairman, I would just say that the fact that my colleague from the Valley doesn't have a subscription to the Newsminer, you may be advantaged, Mr. Mayor, by buying him one.
All right. I'll consider that. I don't know if it'll fit in the city budget, though.
we're still trying to figure out if Representative Stoltz is from the Valley or if he's from Northern Anchorage. I think it seems to depend on the issue before us. Okay, going on, is Kara, are you still with us? Kara Morialti.
Can you hear me?
Yes, we can, Kara.
Okay, well, thank you for the opportunity to testify today. For the record, my name is Kara Moriarty, and I am the president and CEO of the Greater Fairbanks Chamber of Commerce. And on behalf of our 750 members, I would like to speak in support of House Bill 46. As you can see in your packets, our chamber has long supported the concept that all utilities should be on the same playing field and thus eligible to receive state grant funds. Currently, the only utilities that are eligible for these grants are publicly owned utilities, and the grants are primarily used, as been shared, for infrastructure development and upgrades. I think it is important to note that based on the regulations set by the RCA, the shareholders in privately owned utilities cannot generate a return on investment or receive depreciation expense credits for any grant funds they receive. Because of those regulations, the only beneficiaries then, if a privately owned utility were to receive grants, would be the ratepayers or the citizens of a community. As you know, all utilities in Fairbanks are either owned privately or by a cooperative. So in essence, Fairbanks businesses and residents are at a disadvantage compared to other Alaska residents. One of the first questions we field here at the Chamber from prospective businesses that want to locate to Fairbanks is, what is the cost of doing business? And utility costs are certainly a major component of a business's operating costs. The infrastructure needs for some of our utilities are great. In fact, it is not uncommon for a business that wants to locate in what would seem like close proximity to downtown Fairbanks are not able to connect to major utility lines without considerable cost to them to extend to the utility system. The lack of infrastructure is often a burden in our efforts to expand economic development, and the ability for our utility to have access to these grants would help level the playing field. So On behalf of Fairbanks businesses and residents, I would urge the committee to look at this bill as a fairness issue. It is only fair that our privately owned utilities should be eligible, like other utilities across the state, to receive these grants. Once people also expand into the as the infrastructure expands, the ratepayers also benefit because the cost of the utility would be more economical for everyone. So I thank you for the opportunity to testify, and I would be happy to answer any questions you may have.
All right, thank you for your testimony, Kara, and we do have a question from Representative Stoltz.
Thank you, Chairman Meyer, Co-Chairman Meyer. Ms. Moriarty, I believe I heard correctly, you said you believe that all utilities should be treated equally. Is that dependent upon their ownership or just equally just on their face?
I just think that, you know, our belief that they should all be treated equally regardless of their ownership to be able to apply for these grants for infrastructure, especially if it's a privately held utility, the private owners aren't going to benefit, the ratepayers benefit, just like a municipality owned. So I hope that clarifies it.
Would it be, Mr. Chairman, it'd be a position if it was owned by, say, if Donald Trump owned utility, Donald Trump Utilities out of New York, they should have the same rights as, say, Bethel Utilities?
Exactly, because a Donald Trump-owned utility would still, you know, the corporation wouldn't benefit because they can't take a return on their investment from these grants. It can't be based into their return. It's for the ratepayers. And I think that those from the RCA could further explain that regulation much better than I.
Mr. Chairman, it might not directly, but indirectly, if they can expand their utilities, it affects their bottom line, wouldn't it?
Is that a question for Kara?
Yeah, I guess. Or maybe it's rhetorical, I don't know.
Do you have any thoughts on that, Kara, or should we save that for somebody else?
I would probably defer to those that are experts in that area.
Okay. All right. Let's save that question. Person is told. All right. Seeing no other questions, thank you, Kara, for your testimony.
Thank you.
Okay. That is all I have lined up on teleconference.
Mr. Chairman, you don't have the RCA on?
Yes. They're on for questions. Do you have a question?
Yeah, I guess I wanted to ask him about this letter. Who do we have from
it? This is the
Stranberg. Yeah, Jim Stranberg.
On teleconference or
on
here?
On teleconference, yes. Mm-hmm. Jim Stranberg, are you on teleconference with us?
Yes, I am, sir.
Okay, very good. I think we'll go ahead and go into questions. Representative Croft has a question for you, sir.
Yes, sir.
And Jim, for the record, could you restate your name and your affiliation?
My name is Jim Stranberg. I'm one of the commissioners with the Regulatory Commission of Alaska.
Okay, thanks, sir.
And you're familiar with the letter that Chair Thompson sent to Senator Terrio on the cost recovery issue?
Through the chair, Representative Croft, I'm familiar with that letter. However, I don't have it in front of me.
I'm concerned, I guess, about the same thing that Senator Terrio was concerned about to ask, is the possibility that this state money could, if the utility were ever sold, end up being a grant that in effect goes to the new seller, a private entity. This letter gets me more and more convinced that if the RCA retains jurisdiction, that's unlikely to happen. That is, it doesn't go into private hands. That's your conclusion, right? That if, as long as we retain RCA jurisdiction, that it would be contributed capital, and because these things are sold on a net present value based on their profits, or that is what they can charge, it's unlikely to end up being a great private benefit to the person who buys, the entity that buys.
Representative Croft, through the chair, I believe I can shed some light on this. A sale agreement of a regulated public utility is a commercial agreement which is separate from any of our rate decisions, but it is rather firmly linked in the following manner. A buyer can come in and purchase a utility at literally any amount that they wish. However, the rates will always that are charged to customers will always be based on the book value of that utility less accumulated depreciation. So what that means is that that's also less the contributed plant, which would be less any of these grant funds that came in. And I can talk to you a little bit about that as well. But of particular interest is, you know, whether or not this new buyer can extract the money that it paid to the utility out of the ratepayer, the added amount above the book value of that utility. And the fact of the matter is that we do not allow that. What really I think happens is if a buyer buys a utility at much more than the book value, literally their return that they get on it is a much lower percentage. It sometimes happens, it often happens, but those purchase prices do not affect the rates that the ratepayer must burden. Now, in respect to the contributed capital, typically that is not a part of the rate base or a part of the valuation of the utility when it's sold. So that is not allowed. We do not allow a return on the grant funds under any circumstance.
Okay, and because you don't allow a return on the grant funds, it's unlikely to, I mean, nobody's going to pay for something they can't recover in future profits.
Well, yes. Typically, nobody is going to do that. We typically do not see that.
Thank you.
Yes, sir.
I guess one last one. I'm sorry. So then I'm convinced now that as long as RCA jurisdiction remains on these, the state grant isn't going to end up in private hands. So now what we've had various times, and Representative Stoltz referred to it, proposals to take these entities out of RCA jurisdiction. And if you don't, if you're not regulating them, then that scenario could come true. That is, if we do a big grant and they sell and somehow get out of RCA regulation, then this grant could end up as just a state grant to what ends up being a private entity.
Through the chair, Representative Croft, that is a possibility. I can only speak to what would happen under our regulation.
Right.
But certainly, absent rules such as that, you know, many things are possible under the midnight sun.
Okay. Thank you.
Yes, sir.
Thank you, Representative Croft. Representative Croft, your question has emptied the room, so.
something is in the
room. Okay, also, I think I mentioned this, but we also have in the audience here Dan Easton with DEC, and George Gordon is with Utility Services in Alaska and Fairbanks. He's on telecom. Okay, any other questions for Mr. Easton or any of the gentlemen online? I would like, Mr. Wright, would you please come back? Don't, can't sit over there, close to the door.
Mr. Wright.
Question, Representative Schultz. No.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I guess my question would be addressed to Dan, since his name is on the fiscal note.
Please join us, Dan. Dan, for the record, if you could tell us your name and who you're affiliated with.
Mr. Chairman, I'm Dan Easton. I'm Director of Water for the Department of Environmental Conservation.
Thanks, Dan. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. My question, I guess, would be, we're looking at $132,000 fiscal month drawn out to $211,000, which has dropped down to $125,000. I guess my question would be, why would that be in CIP receipts versus being in program receipts where the utilities that decided to try to apply for these grants would not actually take the program itself, as we do with a lot of other programs. Is there any reason that it's like this? Or
Mr. Chairman, Representative Chennault, you know, I suppose that we could turn around and bill the utilities for the cost of operating the program, but when you're handing them grants in one hand and then turning around and billing them with the other, I'm not sure that we would accomplish that much. We thought about that. What the reason this shows as CIP receipts is you know, what we thought would make the most sense and sort of be the simplest would be to do this kind of like we do our other grant programs, and that is that if you looked in the capital budget, there would be a separate, in this case, allocation for the amount of what it costs to run the program per year, along with all the different projects that the program would fund in that fiscal year. And then ultimately, if that capital budget passes, then we transfer the money from the capital budget into our operating budget, and chosen our operating budget as CIP receipts.
And I understand that, and I guess my question just continually goes that we have a lot of programs that are utilized by the oil industry, for instance, and I'll just use them as an example. But almost each of those are tied into a fee or some type of cost that helps pay for that particular program. And I'm just saying, why wouldn't we do that even with a utilities program? You know, I realize the money comes out of the capital project or capital budget, but you're taking it out of one pocket and putting it in another pocket, and you're not replenishing either pocket.
I guess I'm not sure how to respond to that. You know, it's certainly a possibility. We do charge fees for other services that the department provides. It's just we typically don't charge fees, you know, for programs where we're providing funding. Instead, what we're doing is, instead of handing them $10 worth of project funding and saying, you're going to need to give us a dollar of that back, we take our dollar off the top before we give them their $10. It also shows in the capital budget, just like their $10 grant does. But rather than to, again, hand them grant funds on one hand and then, you know, take money back from them on the other, it's a possibility. I don't know that it makes for the most straightforward arrangement.
And I don't know how we get there, Dan, and Mr. Chairman, but, you know, I look if we have an amount of money, and while all these programs are great, once we start a program, it seems to do nothing but cost the state money, and we have no way to recoup some of our costs. And, you know, as we continue to do that, our budget deficit begins to continually increase. And I think that we reach a point at some point in time where, while this is maybe a great program and it may affect utilities, and I've seen there was a utility in my area that might benefit from it also. I also think that, you know, we need to be frugal with our money, and if it requires us to ask for a little bit of buy-in from these municipalities, then, or users of these grants, then that's what we need to do. So thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Yep. Mr. Chairman, if I might, just one other note. In terms of the cost of this program to the state or anybody else, this is basically a three-person program. So it's not a big ticket item. I know that your point, that doesn't affect your point, but in terms of magnitude, it's not a very large program. Or tiny.
And just a short comment. $132,000 is a lot of money.
I agree.
Even in the big picture, it's still, in my mind, a fair sum of money that I would go after.
Thank you. Thank you for
question, sir, Richard Chanel. To follow up on that, you're anticipating having 8 or 9 more grants to review, and we need another whole person to do that, if I'm reading your notes here, Richard.
Mr. Chairman, in the situation's slightly more complex than that, but yes, basically, what we really anticipate is a shift from making...
Just a second, if I can. Representative Holmes, are you doing some work in your office or something?
No, I just checked.
We hear some
jokes. I think it's in the ceiling.
Oh, okay, I thought Representative Holmes was hanging up a TV or something.
Yeah, we're drilling up there.
Okay, well, I think it sounds like it's subsided. Go ahead, I'm sorry to interrupt.
Fiscal note,
yes, and 7 or 8 grants for one person.
Oh, I'm sorry. Yeah, okay. What we really anticipate is a shift from, we make 7 to 12 million-dollar grants a year in the current configuration of the program, given who's eligible. So what we see is a shift from making a relatively small number of large grants to the potential for making a much larger number of smaller grants. And that will affect our workload. The other thing that we see potential for is that we're making grants to 36 municipalities that have participated in this program for a long time. They really know the grant rules. They're very easy for us to deal with. If we expand if the eligibility is expanded in this way, we'll be dealing with new clients that don't understand the program rules. They'll require a higher degree of help from us. So it's really the combination of those two kind of factors that make us think, gee, it kind of looks like we're going to need another position to handle this.
Okay. Representative Holmes has a question.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. On that, Mr. Easton, on that issue or on that subject, I find it peculiar to me that if you're doing only 7 to 12, that means you're doing only one grant per month, that if you went to 2 grants per month, that somehow you need one more full-time employee to do that. I just find that to be somewhat outrageous. But maybe I don't understand the government.
Mr. Chairman, Representative Holmes, sometimes I don't understand the government either, but the potential here is basically to double our workload. We have 3 people in the program currently. We're suggesting that we can do it with one other person. We approached this fiscal note very conservatively. We didn't want to signal that any sort of negative message about the bill. We consider this purely a policy call. And, it's fairly clear to us, and I hope clear in the fiscal note, as to kind of why we expect the sort of impact on our workload that we do.
Through the chair. To follow up. Well, I guess I'm a little confused because you show a $132,000 fiscal note, and yet you show that it's only going to cost you $83,000, including benefits for the person. So I'm kind of confused as to where the other $50,000 is going.
Mr. Chairman, Representative Holmes, the other $50,000, about 30 of that is just the support costs. With every position, we have to pay a salary, but we also have to pay, we have to buy their computers, and we have to pay for copy machines and their overhead. That would be about $30,000. And the other $20,000 of the $50,000 that you mentioned increase is contractual money that we would use to purchase audits. In this program, before we close a grant, we have an audit done to make sure that all the expenditures are eligible, and so there's, in addition to the salary and overhead costs for the position, there's about $20,000 of contractual money to purchase audit services.
Wow, it's incredulous to me. I'll just sit here and mutter. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Right. Representative Holmes, you mutter for a while, and we'll go on to Representative Hawker.
Well, thank you, Mr. Chairman, and I won't mutter. I think is from what I've heard in testimony and the facts has been as they've been presented, I think we've got a circumstance here where I believe the committee would be justified in amending the physical note and not providing the individual and forwarding this with a zero physical note at this time.
Representative Hawker, I think you're on the same wavelength as many of the rest of us. We are going to hold this bill over and bring it back next week with the CS, and I think that would be the appropriate time to address this one. Thank you, Representative.
Thank you.
Representative Stoltz.
Yep. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. And I don't know if this question or caustic comment or whatever, maybe just respond accordingly. It's on privatization. I'd like to see more of it, but there's this, my best friends and myself, probably times, there's a sense to you want to privatize the gains and then socialize the losses. And I think we should take a whole comprehensive view and take one step with an expectation then to come back later. And that's probably the criticism of the privatization proposals that come around. And that's a big hole in this thing for me. And it may be a lot of merit to it. You get the chambers endorse a lot of things I may or may not agree with. But that's a real fundamental issue that I have. And it's I don't know if anybody here can make any comfort, provide any comfort to that, but it's really a big philosophical issue I have to grapple with. I guess the only thing we're all consistent on is we're sometimes inconsistent.
A follow-up, Mr. Easton, to any of the comments you've heard?
No, sir. No, Mr. Chairman. I'd be happy to answer other questions.
Okay.
If you're through with me, I'd be happy.
No, you stay. You stay. You stay there. I think Representative Holm is done muttering, and he has a question. Representative Holm.
I'm done muttering. I need to know something, just for my edification, Mr. Chairman. Where does the pot of money come from, and how large is the pot of money that these grants are derived from? Through the chair, whoever can answer that.
Mr. Chairman, Representative Holm, the funding for the program is primarily state funds. It's usually either, I think in 06 it's proposed to be Alaska Student Loan Corporation proceeds. In the past it's been Alaska Housing Finance Corporation proceeds. It's primarily state funded. We can use some federal grant funds when the grants are being made to smaller communities that meet a federal definition of the word rural, like Petersburg, would qualify for federal grant funding. The amount of the funding, total, state and federal, has varied in the last few years. In 2004, it was, $9.4 million in 2004. $6.4 million in state fiscal year 2005. In 2006, the proposed budget for the program is about $11
million. Mr. Chairman, those figures are available in the information that was passed out by DEC, Municipal Water Sewerage and Solid Waste Matching Grants Program prescription. Those figures are in the back page.
Can I send it out here?
Correct, Mr. Chairman.
Handout number zero. No number. Do everybody have that? Okay. Any other questions?
Mr. Chairman.
Yes, Representative Keller.
To respond a little bit to the representative from Eagle River, I think that the focus of the program in a young state with little...
No Eagle River in my district.
Oh, then the representative slightly north of Eagle River. is to benefit the consumer in a state that's large and with relatively little infrastructure. And it moved from pretty much 100% funding to matching, which is what this is. And so I think that it is an attempt to focus on the consumer that might not have had the advantage of central station service, whether it's electric or wastewater and clean water. and less on the configuration of the entity that owns the utility. And as Commissioner Strandberg mentioned, the commission is extremely aware of how to handle grants and make sure that they're passed through with a direct benefit to the final consumer. Another point, Mr. Chairman, is that an existing municipality fully qualified today for these funds is just as likely to make a sale to someone who could then advantage this in the future, or might if they were deregulated. So I think it's a matter of whether we put a belt and then suspenders and then, you know, a catch net on this thing. The benefit goes to the consumer. The commission isn't going to allow that benefit to derive to the owners of a private company. But if you look at it, whether it could eventually get in private hands, more municipals have gone to private hands than the reverse is true, I believe, in the last decade or two. So I think focus on the consumer, matching is always a good thing, and so I support the bill.
All right, we'll hold on to that thought there, Representative Kelly. Any other questions, Representative Hawker?
Just can't resist following the point here, but perhaps the greatest, most prominent example in response to the previous question, public funds being utilized as a matter of precedent in this state to support private interests might very well be the permanent fund dividend.
Interesting. Representative Holt.
Now, one other little aside here. It could be argued at this point, Mr. Chairman, that government-owned utilities are thereby competing unfairly with privately-owned utilities.
I suppose you could argue that, but we're not going to do that today.
Well, if they have them.
Stay over here and mutter.
Keep muttering. Actually, we do have someone who's asked to testify, and we have not closed the public testimony on this subject, so why don't we go ahead and go back to our friends in Fairbanks, and Charlie Walker has asked to testify. Charlie, are you with us?
Can you hear me?
Yes, we can.
Okay, thank you for giving me the opportunity to testify in front of this committee. Fairbanks, I'm the president and CEO of Fairbanks Economic Development Corporation, and we are wholeheartedly behind allowing private utilities to participate in the grant matching program. So we think it would really help our economic development efforts here in Fairbanks, and we encourage you to support this proposal. And that's really what I wanted to say, and tell you that it would really help us moving in our economic development diversification efforts.
Okay. Very good. Thank you for your testimony.
Thank you, sir.
Okay, very good. No one else is signed up from Fairbanks or any other LIOs to testify that we know of, so I'm going to go ahead and close the public testimony. Would entertain any other questions at this time for any of our guests who are online or for the sponsor. And if there's no other questions, what I'd like to do is just hold this bill till next week, and we'll come back to see us. We'll work with the sponsor, take some of the suggested amendments that Representative Croft has suggested, and sit down with the sponsor and see if we can incorporate this into CS. Representative Croft.
Yeah, I just wanted to point out that I think because of the conversation here, I changed that amendment. You've got a new one. To really say only if it comes out of RCA jurisdiction. And while that might be unlikely, I think that more hits. I was convinced by the testimony here that if it remains in RCA jurisdiction, there's not much of a problem, and that the only one would become. And at the recommendation of some of the other committee members, also put a time limit on it so that they wouldn't have to pay it back if it was 20 years ago or 30 years ago. But sort of if you do this and then for whatever reason get out from under these rules, that's the problematic.
Okay. Thank you, Representative Croft. Yes, we'll get your amendment to the sponsor, as well as some of the concerns with the fiscal note.
And then you had an amendment yourself that you suggested that was made over on the other side that the sponsor's okay with.
Mr. Chairman, that's correct.
Do you still have that? I think that had to do with...
Yes, I do, Mr. Chairman.
Yeah, could you read that again just so we have some idea what... So, in other words, I want the committee to know basically what the CS is going to look like when it comes back next week.
The amendment would go in Section 3, and it would say it would add that a utility is owned and operated by a political subdivision of the state that is a municipality. Okay. So what it would say is a public water and sewer utility eligible for grant for projects described in B 1 through 3 of the section. If one, its rates are regulated by the Regulatory Commission of Alaska under AS 4205, or two, utilities owned and operated by a political subdivision of the state that's a municipality.
Okay, very good. Then with that, we're going to go ahead and set this bill aside for the time being.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you, Mr. Wright, Mr. Easton, and Ben for joining us. There's no other business to come before the committee. We'll just go over next week's schedule a little bit. I know you're all very busy with your subcommittees right now and are active in those. And at some point in time, we'll be having the budget before us, which will occupy a lot of your time. But let's see. For next week, February 7th, we have two bills. One's a real good one. It's a seasonal hunting, fishing, lodge liquor license by Representative Meyer. And House Bill 32, shouldn't have much discussion on this one, grant to Arctic Power for ANWR. And then on Tuesday, we have an overview with Aetna. Did you set that one up? Aetna Healthcare.
I'm working on trying to get them scheduled in. Nothing changed for the costs.
Okay, and then after that, House Bill 79, appropriations to the Division of Elections. what day are you gone, Representative Grubb? Then on Wednesday, House Bill 61, charitable gaming, Calcutta polls. Okay, that'll be interesting. And then House Bill 76, big game services and commercial services board. And then on Thursday, the 10th, we'll take up any bills that get carried over, and certainly we'll take up the CS on this bill on that day. That's the plan anyway. Representative Kelly.
Yes, Mr. Chairman. Just regarding, you were wanting to give us a preview on the amendments, and I would just ask if the amendment that was intended to be offered by the representative from Anchorage would include the municipalities in the if they bail out of regulation stipulation.
Excellent. Yeah, let's talk about that.
Yeah,
as we're doing
this. Yeah, once you guys, so we got some time, so you and Representative Kropp get together, and then get together, of course, with Mr. Wright or the sponsor. Okay, Representative Foster.
That's all right. I was just going to ask you if there's a fiscal note on the first one.
The first one, it's actually a positive. So, yeah, we're trying to get the trying to fill the fiscal gap here with the liquor license.
What's a positive?
Okay, any other thing to come before the committee? If not, we're adjourned.
Well, that was fun. Where are you, Ken?